Welcome to the Clear Admit MBA Admissions Podcast. I'm your host, Graham Richmond, and this special episode is part of our Admissions Director Q&A series. Today, I'm thrilled to welcome Eddie Aspey from the Cornell Johnson Graduate School of Management. Eddie's title is Executive Director of Admissions and Scholarship, and he is responsible for overseeing admissions and recruitment for the two-year residential MBA program. He has spent over 20 years of his professional career in higher education, primarily within admissions, and he has called Ithaca, New York, and Cornell home for 14 years. He completed his undergraduate degree from the University of Buffalo with a BA in communications and has a master's degree in student personnel administration from SUNY Buffalo State College. Welcome to the show, Eddie. It's great to connect with you again.
Graham, thanks so much for having me, and it's always great to see you and, of course, the partner with Clear Admit.
Yeah. So I appreciate you making time. I know we're probably, you know, getting towards orientation and then maybe get some vacation and before this all starts up again. But I wanted to, for our listeners' benefit, to just tell us a little bit about your background and, you know, the path that led you into this current role at Cornell Johnson.
Absolutely. And Graham, once again, thanks so much for the overall introduction. As mentioned, I've been in higher education entering 22 years this year, which is hard to believe. But within my time, I've, as you had mentioned, also I've been in higher education, 22 years. Most of my work has been within admissions, did some work in undergraduate admissions, 14 years here at Johnson. And really, it's just been an honor and a pleasure to be in this position to lead the admissions team and to work with so many amazing candidates. I've always looked at ways of, making a difference. And, I always stress about the value of education and being able to give candidates the opportunity and to really be able to look at their path and, look at the value of the MBA and how Cornell in particular can get them there has really continued to excite me in the work that I'm doing. And, just really being able to see our students grow has been really encouraging. But, I started off 14 years ago as assistant director, moved my way up to the associate director role, then the executive director role. But I've had some great mentors and some great leaders that I've worked with in this industry that have, helped me think outside the box and to really, have us really think through, what Johnson is looking for and how we get the best and the brightest candidates here. But also working with such an amazing and talented admissions team has kept me here and has got me to, I think, where I am at the moment.
Yeah, it's funny because as I was saying to you before we kind of came on air, I've been recording, these episodes with a lot of your peers at other top MBA programs. And yeah, that's something that comes up time and time again, this ability to kind of be in a position where you're seeing people embark on this journey that's really exciting for them and kind of life-changing, right? So it just seems like that really energizes people. And it sounds like you've also been really fortunate to have great colleagues and mentors around you as you've been at Cornell for 14 years. I do have to ask you though, what like initially drew you to admissions work? What is it about the admissions process specifically? Because I mean, in theory, you could do anything at Cornell or, there are a lot of different roles within higher ed. What is it about admissions that you're really excited about?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was fortunate in undergrad to intern at my time at the University of Buffalo in our student affairs office. Mm. In our student affairs office, you really got to see the behind the scenes work that student affairs professionals put into the student overall experience. So whether it was more from the admission side, whether it was more from student services, student activities, the fraternity and sororities office, et cetera, I saw the passion that my colleagues really put into the student experience. And of course, I think interning and working in this office really just sparked my interest, I think, one in higher education. But also, I think about my career path and my academic path, even just preparing for college. There was a lot of guidance that I needed. There were admissions representatives that really talked me through the college process that I just wasn't aware of, or maybe my family wasn't aware of. And I just really remember the care that they provided and the guidance that they provided. Same thing with my counselors in high school and admissions representatives throughout this process, and you know, that's something I never forgot. Mm-hmm. And once I got to college, just having conversations with family friends or younger cousins who were thinking about the college process, there was some knowledge that I had thinking through, okay, you know, preparing for your essays and college visits and standardized tests and really putting your best foot forward. But also, you know, when I started my career in admissions, it was also at the University of Buffalo for about 5 years. I loved my experience at the University of Buffalo. And I always thought, like, is there a job out there where you can really talk about the program, sell the program, hopefully travel? And of course, this is where I learned more about admissions. And for me, it has been the best professional career experience, but also very rewarding for me.
Yeah, it's funny that you're talking about that, because now I'm thinking about, so I don't know if you know this, but the part of the reason that I do what I'm doing and why I kind of created ClearAdmit is because of the mentorship or the kind of guidance that I received from a director of admissions when I was first applying to school. Sometimes you really connect with someone as you're traveling down this journey, and you can see they've got really, you know, kind of keeping their eyes out for you and helping you along the way. And I just, that really left a mark on me. And it was an admissions director at Wharton. And that's where I ended up going to my business degree. But it just, being able to kind of be that mentor or kind of, I don't know what the word is here, like the light in the, you know, kind of shining the light for someone to help them navigate, because not everyone knows how to do this. And so, really, I with you 100% on what drives that. I do have to ask you though, what is one misconception that applicants tend to have about admissions officers or even the admissions process? But, you know, because I feel like candidates say all kinds of stuff on the internet that makes me think they haven't met actual admissions officers.
Graham, I feel like that's a loaded question right there.
Yeah.
But I will say, I think one of the misconceptions really is that, one, I think that we're unapproachable at time, or there's times where I have candidates say, well, I didn't want to bother you, you know, I know how busy you are. Yes, we're all busy. Yes, we have large applicant pools and volumes out there, but we want to get to know you throughout this process. And, you know, and I'll put this out there even on this podcast, and I tell candidates all the time, but I'm happy to have a 30-minute call with you to talk more about, you know, your profile, you know, why you're thinking about the MBA, why Cornell. Ultimately, you know, it is a huge investment financially of your time, but also we want to make sure that you are putting your best foot forward, but also you're making the best informed decision for yourself to apply to the programs, but also, if admitted, you know, hopefully enroll and have this to your journey, and making sure that this is the best experience possible, you know, throughout that, your journey itself. So once again, reach out to us. You know, we're here to, you know, to help guide you along the way. Hear from us. There are times where I hear from candidates that, you know, they find their information from a blog or, you know, maybe a consultant. And I wish that the candidate had come directly to us, because there are things that change in our process every year. So go directly to the source.
Yeah.
The only other thing that I would say is, you also had mentioned about the admissions process. I'm going to say more about the goals piece of it. There are times where I think candidates feel that I have to know 100% what my career goals are. If I don't know 100%, I am going to automatically be denied. Or sometimes you're just telling the admissions team what you know, feel they would want to know based off of your career goals, etc. You know, we don't hold you 100% to that. You're going to go through the admissions process. You're going to talk to students, alums, family members about different industries. And there's time in the admissions process, as well as once you enter in the program, to explore different options. But at some point, you do have to make a decision as far as which direction you're looking to go into. So know that right off the bat. If you don't know 100%, that's okay. But once again, there are opportunities for you to really be able to you know, connect with our communities to really be able to have a better sense of what your interests are, where you want to go short-term, long-term, and then really put that into play.
Okay. Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the things you're talking about, how, you know, this misconception and that you want to dispel, which is that people can reach out, they should connect with you and your colleagues. And, you know, that I think that's actually, you're making a statement about Cornell Johnson too. I mean, I feel like, yeah, I don't think every school is, you know, is doing that. So that's terrific that, you know, you guys are able to talk to everyone and wanting to. I have to ask you though, you've been in admissions for a long time, you know, in terms of, I mean, not just in this role, but, you know, you've been, as we said earlier, you know, 22 years or so in higher ed and a lot of that in admissions. And I'm just wondering, how has your thinking about admissions changed over the years, if at all?
Oh, yeah. You know, there's definitely a lot that has changed in admissions, you know, and it could be, I think a lot of it too is just the way candidates approach the process. You know, if you had asked me 10 years ago, you know, and it could be anything from, you know, attending in-person events, you know, and, you know, what the volume at the events look like and the conversations or the overall priorities for candidates, you know, at that time, you know, were completely different to, I think, where we are right now. You know, from a virtual standpoint, there's so many opportunities to really be able to connect with candidates, mm-hmm. you know, so whether it is, you know, connecting with candidates through Zoom or, you know, a lot of in-person or virtual sessions that we are hosting right now, I think we have the opportunity, of course, to reach more candidates, but also, you know, that personal touch is also so important. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it really depends on how candidates really approach the admissions process. But that is, I think, one area where I think admissions really has changed over time. But also too, you know, and, you know, we've been talking more and more about the use of technology in the admissions process. And, you know, I'll jump right into it with the way AI has been used in the process. But also, we really want your voice to be heard in your essays, of course, throughout the interview process, et cetera. And I think that's just one element, you know, whether it is in the admissions process as you go through recruiting, but also as life in life, you know, knowing the difference in and as far as the difference as well as timing of when to use the technology side of it, but also once again to remain authentic and genuine throughout this process. So yeah, a couple of things that really come to mind when thinking about changes in the admissions process over the years.
Yeah, and it's fascinating. I mean, just this idea that things have become very virtual as compared to 20 years ago. And then also now, you know, AI is kind of having its role. I mean, we just did a whole series of virtual events with ClearAdmit and actually Hannah from your team joined us for one of them. And one of the things that we were talking a lot about was AI and yeah, the need for there to be an authentic voice and that's a candidate's chief asset, you know, and so you don't want to drown that out with a lot of sort of AI slop. So Eddie, I also wanted to ask you a question. This is kind of a fun question. What is something that applicants tend to worry about far more than they should?
Oh my gosh. I believe the essay part of it. I understand that candidates are looking to write the perfect essay, the most compelling essay. But there are times where I feel that a candidate focuses on that so much that they forget other elements of the overall application. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think, you know, when you think about the admissions process, you know, over the years, and I think also kind of going back to your last question about things that have changed over the years, a lot of schools have really cut back the amount or the length of what an essay really consists of. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for our essay, for example, it's 350 words. So you have to be clear, concise, get to the point. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of candidates really focus on my essay being perfect or is this what the admissions committee, you know, want to hear? You know, once again, I think it goes back to being as authentic and genuine, but also making sure that you answer the question, you know, and I think that's also an area where candidates really forget, you know, is they get into the weeds of the essays that they're actually not answering the question. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, you know, there are times where I might see someone, see someone's essay still unsure what they actually want to do. But then also I will have the interviewer really press upon, you know, what are their career goals or really their fit for Johnson or what leadership looks like to them, et cetera. So, you know, once again, the essay is one additional component of the admissions process. Mm-hmm. And there's so much that we look at to make, you know, that final decision.
Yeah. So it sounds like, I mean, yeah, it sounds to me like following instructions, you know, sometimes people, as you say, they get really down in the weeds and then, you know, they emerge with something that it's not really on subject. So keeping that in mind. And then the other thing I just wanted to mention is that you guys have introduced or reintroduced this a really fun essay question for this season, which is where you have to kind of write, I think it's, what is it, like the table of contents for a book about your life, right? So that sounds like a lot of fun and, yeah, a nice way to get to know people.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm really excited about reintroducing that essay again. And I always say that, you know, and I've been telling my team, like, this is a fan favorite essay, and it really gives candidates the opportunity to tell us more about who they are. You know, mm-hmm. You know, I think when people look at the overall application, yeah, it's, we want to know your academics. Yes, we want to know your goals. You know, we want to know why you want to come to Cornell, but mm-hmm. there are things that you've done in your lifetime that you want to share, or there's a story that you want to share, mm-hmm. and you can be as creative as possible. No right or wrong answer to the essay. But once again, it paints a different picture of who you are and really anything that you really want to share. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to bringing that essay back this year.
Yeah, it should be fun to read. So one thing, you know, now that you've been in this role for several years, you get to see the students that you've admitted go through the program, graduate, and you know, many times you've seen that happen over the last handful of years. And I'm just wondering, what are the qualities that tend to distinguish those who make the most out of the opportunities at Johnson and at Cornell? I mean, so not who gets in, but who thrives when they're there?
Yeah, I think the students who really thrive here, the two things that come to mind is, one, someone who's open-minded, you know, and it's more than just, you know, thinking about your career interests and what recruiting looks like. Mm-hmm. You know, it's opportunities of networking and taking on leadership opportunities. Mm-hmm. You know, the partnership that happens between, you know, our administration and our students, but also the opportunities outside of just the business school itself. So I think those who come in, you know, with an open mind to really take advantage of this 2-year opportunity, as well as thinking of course, you know, ways that we can push Johnson forward to be an even better business school, I think are, you know, some of the qualities that really come to mind. But also, and I say this probably on every presentation, is that I think our students are selfless. Mm-hmm. You know, when I think about the students who come here into the program, you know, they're using their knowledge and their networks and their overall experiences to really help their classmates, you know, be better and to move forward, to think outside the box and to really challenge them as well. So, you know, there is someone who is leaving investment banking and maybe they're looking to transition to the consulting side or tech, you know, or do a dual degree. You know, I've seen many of our students who are using their personal networks during the recruiting side of things, or maybe it is someone who doesn't come from the strongest quantitative background, you know, but, you know, that classmate may be coming from, you know, let's say an accounting background, and they're, you know, staying up late at night to help prepare for that midterm or for that final to push them forward. Or, you know, those students who are going through the recruiting process together and maybe, you know, they're applying for a similar role with the, you know, same company or similar company, and they're going back to the rest of the group, you know, to let them know how the interview went and, you know, questions that were asked and how they answered it, how they wish they answered it. So, you know, I think that level of selflessness is, you know, a quality that we tend to see, you know, during the MBA program here at Johnson.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there's so many things. I love the point you're making about, you know, students in sort of partnership with the, you know, institution and getting involved and trying new things. And I know there's always that balance. We hear, you know, we've done all these Real Humans pieces on Clear Admit's website where we talk to Johnson grads who are out in the workforce, and we always ask them about their time in business school. And they often say there's that balance between absolutely, you know, having to prioritize trying new things and you know, take those risks and but then also being aware of like what, you know, I got to stay on track with my career plan and recruiting, et cetera. But I think it's really, it's a great balancing act that is worth finding, you know, just worth prioritizing to be able to do it all, because it just feels like there's so much on offer. So yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, it sounds like, I mean, from our discussions over the years, it just feels like Johnson is a really, you know, that kind of a collaborative, you know, environment where people really are selfless. So I have to ask you, this is related. You get to hang out with alumni, whether it's when you're on the road, or obviously they come back to campus for reunions, things like that. And I'm wondering, like, what do they tell you when they, you know, they're always probably reminiscing about their time on campus, but what is something that comes up that, you know, consistently you feel like maybe they didn't appreciate as much when they were a student, but that they really appreciate, you know, now as graduates?
I will say that I believe we have the best alums out there. And I'm very fortunate that I get to see them quite often, but I think the things that they say that they didn't really appreciate, I think at the time, the two things I would say Ithaca and the surrounding areas within Ithaca, you know, it is, you know, this is such an amazing college town. Mm-hmm. We're right in the, you know, the Finger Lakes region, and just really being able to explore outside of Ithaca, you know, being on the lake, mm-hmm. you know, the parks. And I think there's a good amount of alums who really do, you know, take advantage, but there are some who, you know, whether their main focus was really on the recruiting side, the academic side, whether it was more of international opportunities, et cetera. I think one, just the surrounding area and the beauty of what Ithaca has to offer. The other thing too I hear is, you know, I wish I took advantage of, you know, other opportunities outside of Johnson. Hmm. So, you know, when I talk about the program, I think one of the beauties of the program is really the flexibility of the program. You know, first year, pretty standard, like most business schools of your core or immersion. Mm-hmm. But in your second year, you have the opportunity of really exploring more of what Cornell has to offer. So whether it's taking courses over at the hotel school, the College of Engineering, Industrial Labor Relations, the law school, the list goes on, you know, mm-hmm. I do hear from time to time that I wish that I had taken advantage of other courses or research opportunities, you know, outside of what the business school has to offer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I would say our alums, you know, typically will say.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting how, you know, given that a lot of people post-MBA are going to be working in, you know, major metro areas with their jobs and stuff, it seems like such a unique opportunity to be able to get those couple of years in a place like Ithaca, where there's just, you know, fresh air and an abundance of outdoor activities and things. And yeah, and I think people often do forget, like, you know, Cornell being a really big university with lots on offer. It sounds like, yeah, there's just a ton of opportunity. I guess another thing I wanted to ask you is, you know, while we're talking about Cornell and Johnson in particular, give me a stereotype about your business school that you want to debunk.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest stereotypes is more on the recruiting process and our location. Mm. You know, I hear all the time about, you know, do companies, you know, is it hard for our students to, you know, recruit being that we're 4 hours, you know, north of New York City, mm-hmm. or, you know, are companies coming on campus, you know, and once again, what overall recruiting looks like for our students. And I would say that's far from the truth. You know, I know that these top, you know, companies, Fortune 500 companies, top consulting firms, investment banks, tech companies, et cetera, really know the quality of a Cornellian and our MBA students out there. They know that, of course, they have great experience. I think that there's the level of grit and determination that they have, mm-hmm. you know, the leadership experiences that they have, but also just the overall preparation in education that they are getting, you know, from an institution like Cornell. But also, you know, going back to our alums, you know, our alums are always looking at ways of paying it forward. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when our alums are, you know, working for these wonderful companies out there, they're also looking for ways of coming back on campus, you know, to recruit, but also to have that experience of, you know, coming back to Ithaca, et cetera. So, you know, just know that, you know, if you are coming here to Ithaca, you know, you're going to have, yes, companies here on campus that are recruiting. Recruiting, of course, is definitely can definitely be a daunting process, but, you know, I know that, and I feel confident that we have the resources, the team, but also the support, you know, from employers and alums to really help our students get to where they really want to be.
Yeah, and that fits perfectly with what we were talking about earlier, where, you know, alums like to come back to, you know, go on a hike or maybe have a, what is it that you guys have up there? Apple cider donuts or, you know, there's all kinds yes. of things that I associate with that part of New York State. One last serious question for you, and then we have some fun, quick lightning round questions. So the serious question is, and we've talked about this a little bit, but maybe you want to add to it. What role does the city, or in this case, you know, Ithaca and that broader kind of Finger Lakes region play in the student experience at Cornell Johnson?
Yeah, and this is where, when we talk about community, and this is something that you're genuinely going to get in the Cornell MBA, you know, experience. And, mm-hmm. you know, I always say that the partnership between Cornell and Ithaca is a very strong partnership. So a couple of things that come to mind on our end where our students are contributing to, you know, Ithaca as a whole. Our students have the opportunity of sitting on the board of a local nonprofit here in the Ithaca area through our Johnson Board Fellows Program, which is led by our leadership programs team as well. And, you know, I've seen our students who have, you know, partnered with, you know, the Ithaca City School District.
Wow.
With the United Way here in Ithaca. There's the Hangar Theater, you know, our small performing arts center here. And, you know, the list goes on, but, you know, these are ways that I think our students are, you know, really getting out into the community, really to make a difference, you know, here, you know, at Johnson and here in Cornell. But that's one of the things that come to mind as well. You know, there's also, you know, we have our Park Fellows, we identify about 24 incoming students to go through this 2-year leadership experience as a cohort together. And our students are required to identify a park project really contributing to either the Ithaca community or to the Cornell community as well. And our parks have done some great things along the way in giving back. But then also I just think about, you know, even some of our consulting mm-hmm. students, you know, they have worked with small businesses here in the Ithaca area, working on various different consulting projects to really be able to help these businesses make the best informed decisions, but also to help them grow along the way.
Yeah. So it sounds like there's a lot of connectivity there between, you know, the school and then the broader community. If you're willing to stick around, I wanted to ask you these lightning round questions. This gets back to the idea that, you know, candidates don't always feel comfortable approaching admissions officers. And so the fun part of these questions is just to, you know, ensure that candidates know that you're a regular person.
Yes, yes.
So we'll just go rapid fire here. The first question is coffee or tea?
I'm going to go coffee this year.
Okay.
I think probably last year was tea. This year is definitely coffee.
Okay. What about beach or mountains?
Give me a beach any day, any day.
Okay. All right. I think that's because you get to be kind of up in the wilderness there. And so maybe, you know, everyone always likes what they don't have access to right
Absolutely.
Away. Right?
So, yes.
What about, are you a morning person or a night owl?
I would say I'm both, but I'm definitely a morning person. You know, I think I wake up happy every single day, a lot of energy, but also being a dad of three,
yeah.
You know, they keep me on my toes. So.
And they get you out of bed early too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
What's a pet peeve that you have?
Well, I think especially being that we're talking more about the admissions process, et cetera, I would say ghosting throughout the admissions process. Mm. So, you know, if whether you decide to accept an offer or not, especially if you decide not to, mm-hmm. you know, I think it's just professional courtesy just to close the loop. It could be one sentence, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But I would say it's been pretty common lately that candidates do that. So that is a pet peeve of mine.
Yeah, I get that. And I hear that from a lot of admissions directors, that there are these candidates that kind of go through the process, but they almost have zero contact other than, you know, they've applied, but they're not, you know, kind of coming out to your events or even virtual, you know, they're just not making you aware of them other than that you received a file to review, right? So that's not a surprise to me that you're saying that. What's a comfort food that you love?
Oh, buffalo wings. Oh, yes.
Then I guess you were in the right place for, because aren't buffalo wings named for Buffalo, New York, right? I mean, isn't that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. All right. So that's your like ground zero for that.
Yes.
What is a guilty pleasure? Something you just like to do when you have free time?
Guilty pleasure for me, anytime that I can go to a sporting event, listen to live music. Mm. I'm really big on just live music, and whether that's just, you know, a small concert series that we have here at Cornell, mm-hmm. if it can be, you know, if it could be a concert, absolutely. But that is definitely what I love to do.
All right. Sounds like fun. What's the best advice you ever received?
Best advice that I've received is probably that your name can go far. And, you know, really to make sure that you really uphold, you know, and maintain the reputation that you have. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think, you know, once again, just representing yourself and, you know, because once again, your name can go far. And I think people will really invest in you once they believe in you.
Yeah. Good advice. What is one thing that applicants should stop doing immediately?
I would say give us a second. There are times where, you know, for example, I'll get an email and maybe I just didn't get to it, mm-hmm. you know, within that day. And by the end of the day, I will get another message saying, I reached out to you and I haven't heard from you.
Yeah.
Once again, we want to hear from you. There's a lot of moving parts in admissions, but just give us a second.
I love how there's this kind of dichotomy of, on the one hand, when they do reach out, they want, you know, candidates want a fast response.
Yes.
And on the other hand, some of them don't do any, you know, they're not reaching out at all. Right. So it's kind of this funny, but in any event, yeah, that makes sense. And I can attest, I mean, you know, somebody like, you know, Eddie, you're reading lots of applications, like you're busy. So I would give you at least a couple of days to respond to an email.
Yes.
I mean, that seems like kind of, all right. So the last question I had is, and this may be related to what you were talking about, I'm really enjoying doing as a guilty pleasure. What is the best thing that you've read, watched, or listened to recently?
Right now, I am in the music mode right now. So between reading and watching something right now, I unfortunately can't name anything right now. But right now, I'm at night, I sit in front of the fire out back in the patio, and I am constantly listening to either old school hip hop, old school R&Bs, R&B from 90s, early 2000s right now. So that is probably what I do on a consistent basis at the moment.
That sounds like a great way to end the day, you know, especially if you're, you know, been reading applications all day, you know, kind of can unwind a little bit. Eddie, I really appreciate you making time here in the summer to chat, and it's always fun to connect with you. So thanks so much. It's been incredibly helpful to talk with you today.
Graham, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate all that you do. And yeah, thank you for having me today.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the show. Thanks for tuning in to the Clear Admit MBA Admissions podcast. And please remember to subscribe, rate, and review the show wherever you listen. We'll be back with more of these admissions Q&As all summer long, as well as our regular weekly episodes airing on Mondays.